by taking a few moments and spending it with our Father. Loving God, Father, Son, and Spirit, God, we thank you for our lives, but we thank you for what you have done, are doing, and will continue to do in each one of our lives. I thank you for your presence. I just ask that you would take this message, that you would speak the words you want, and that we could hear individually exactly what you have prepared for us. And God, I just praise you. I thank you. And this entire service is yours. Lead it as you want. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin with the reading of Psalms 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from delivering me and from my roaring words of distress? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer, and at night, but I have no rest. But you are holy, O you who inhabits the praises of Israel. Our father trusted in you. They trusted, and you did deliver them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All who see me laugh me to scorn. They sneer with the lip. They shake their head, saying, "Trust in the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue him, seeing he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You caused me to trust while I was on my mother's breast. I was cast on you from birth. You are my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open their mouths against me as a praying and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted inside my body. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you have set me toward the dust of death. For dogs have encompassed me. The assembly of the wicked has enclosed me. Like a lion, they pin my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look and stare on me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my clothes. But do not be far from me, O Lord. O my help, hasten to my aid. Rescue my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild ox. Answer me. I will declare your name to my community, and in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You have feared the Lord. Praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hid his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. From you my praise will be in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The meek will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the world will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will worship you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules among the nations. All the prosperous ones of the earth will eat and worship. All who go down to the dust will bow before him. Even he who cannot keep his own soul alive. Posterity will serve him, and it will be told to generations about the Lord. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born that he has acted. We remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross because his love for humanity. This is often referred to as the Passion of the Christ. And we've heard that phrase many times. The root word for passion means to suffer. To have compassion is to suffer with. On the cross, Jesus showed compassion. He suffered for us. You think about the events of that day, and as it comes down to him on the cross, we are a part. In this Good Friday message, we look at the seven statements from the cross. They reveal Jesus' innermost feelings as he poured out his life for us. Remember, he was a human being that experienced this. As we go through these statements, I ask you to make them personal. Approach it as if and reality is Jesus is speaking to you individually. The first one is forgiveness. While they were nailing Jesus to the cross, can you picture that? He is there, and while they are nailing, and you can almost hear the hammer as it's hitting the nail, Jesus prayed over and over, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's from Luke 23, verse 34. Can you imagine that? Can you hear the nails being driven? And Jesus praying to the Father for us. We are part of those that don't know what we were doing it so many times. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus invites you to ponder the question, what are you doing today in your life? As we go through things, are there things that you can come up with? What does your heart look like? Are there hidden wounds? It's real easy to have something that you've allowed scar tissue to cover it up. You've allowed things to hide it, and it's embedded deep. Invite God's healing light to illuminate the darkness and make you whole. I remember an elder here that would talk about it was like a piece of glass that was foreign to the body, and it had to work its way out past all of that scar tissue to get a pure and clean heart. That foreign matter has to come out. Those foreign concepts, the things that we have hidden inside us, have to be eradicated. Invite God's healing light. As you think about Jesus and the first statement of forgiveness, the second one is hope. Today you will be with me in paradise, from Luke 23, verse 43. It's not a Jewish person or a religious leader that asked Jesus for forgiveness, but a convicted thief on the cross. Picture that. Three crosses, three individuals. There are Roman citizens around, the soldiers. There's Jewish folks there. There's religious leaders that were behind the whole thing to begin with. And not one of them ask, but one of the convicted criminals did. What has the thief done to deserve forgiveness? And that would be very easy to say that. Where does he get off with that? He recognizes Jesus as the Son of God. And what did he do? He asked. So often we get busy and we look for ways to heal or solve or move through problems when all we need to do is just ask. God wants to hear from us. He wants us to ask. Jesus went through this whole event giving us the opportunity to ask. Jesus responds, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Can't imagine what that would have been like for that man. Knowing he was a criminal, knowing that he was convicted and crucified with reason, he knew he was guilty. But he recognized who Jesus is. And he asked, "Let me go with you. Let me be with you." And he was. Ask God to give you the strength to turn towards him, to give you his eyes to see, receive, and give the undeserved grace that he poured out on the cross. Do you live in grace? Is grace a part of your life? Is grace something that you extend to other people? Is grace something you extend to yourself from Jesus? The third one is care. Are there those who are easier to include than others? Are there people that you struggle with being around? You question whether they even can be in God's kingdom. It's not your call. Jesus responded to the thief, convicted thief, because he cared. And the man asked. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And you can only imagine what that would have been like for her to look up and see her son in that situation. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby, and we know that to be John, he always refers to himself in the third person, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, which we know is John, "Here is your mother." Picture the imagery of that. He is on the cross, and his mother and his aunt and Mary Magdalene are there, and his close friend, John. And he says, "Take care of my mom. She's a part of your family now. Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her to his home. Jesus wanted to be sure that his mother was taken care of. Through Christ, people of different experiences and cultures are united as brothers and sisters. And think about in our church, in churches around the world, there are people from all different ethnic backgrounds, cultures, and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. When you see someone that maybe doesn't look like you, they certainly don't talk like you because they have a different language, but yet their commitment to Jesus Christ as a Christian is every bit as strong or stronger than ours. They are our brothers. They are our sisters. Ask God to unite our hearts in Christian love. Put that care into everyone you see. We don't know what God is doing in their life. But if we extend grace, that's what we are asked to do, to love them, to care for other people as they do for us. Loneliness, another statement. I can just imagine how lonely he would have felt. His disciples had all abandoned him, left him there. He'd gone through all of the scourgings and beatings, and now he was at the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? From Mark 15:34. As a human, that would be a very real thing to think of, that you're left. No one's there for you. You're on your own. But I want to reflect back to the Psalms that I began this message with, because we have repeated reassuring acknowledgments of God's presence, not his absence. Verse 10 through 11 of Psalms 22. I was cast on you from birth. You are my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. He knew his father was right there with him. Verse 19 through 21. But do not be far from me, O Lord. O my help, hasten to my aid. Rescue my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild ox. Answer me. And in verse 24, for he is not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hid his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. He knew his father heard him. He knew he was not alone. Jesus spoke to God knowing that his father was listening. Do you speak to God knowing that your father is hearing and listening to your every word, every thought, even those unspoken things that you can't put into words? They're almost a groaning that's within us. He understands. The Spirit moves and he understands. What events in this world have you crying out to God and asking why? A few years ago, my nephew and his wife lost their life in an accident. And I know I can still remember being in the hospital and having, I don't know how many different people ask why. That was what they wanted to. They wanted to know why. How could this be? And that's just one event that I can remember very clearly and very moving. Have you ever asked why in a situation? Untimely events create a lot of whys. Are there situations in your personal life that feel forgotten by God? Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time and it hadn't happened. Maybe there's grief that you just can't shake. God hasn't forgotten you. There's a lesson in there somewhere, but it's in the grace of the Father as he pours out his love in each one. Give these areas to Jesus. Ask him to reveal his rescuing presence. I don't know that I will ever hear the total answer to why, because my human heart aches so much. But I truly believe that Jesus is aware and he will carry me through. He will move in my life. He will move in your life. Ask Jesus to reveal his rescuing presence. Suffering. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. The human experience is not a smooth one. Each one of us have our stories. Each one of us have our highs and we have our lows. And we know that this human experience is a challenge. The loneliness we feel, the pain we suffer, the entire spectrum of human emotions, Jesus experienced during his life. We cannot say, oh, but Jesus this, or he did. He understands everything we go through. probably much clearer than we even do. But he experienced what it was to be a human in this world. In his compassion, Christ suffered with and for us. The events of this day, many years ago, changed everything. Jesus suffered for us. Take a moment to reflect on times when you have experienced the light and love of Christ shining into those dark moments. Maybe they're very personal. Maybe there's something that you haven't thought of for a long time because you've buried it so deep. Jesus knows, and he loves, and he wants to help us. Those dark moments don't own you unless you let them. Is there someone to whom you can offer a cup of compassion? Come beside them and share in a loving, caring way the way Jesus shared compassion for all of us. Triumph. It is finished. Three words that carry the weight of the world. They carry everything for us. Jesus claimed no credit. He asked no pity. When Jesus says it is finished from the cross, he means death has lost its battle. Sin no longer has power. Humanity has forever been drawn to the Father's loving arms. It is finished. We don't have to worry about or concern ourselves with things. Jesus paid the price. In his words, it is finished. Have you seen God's redemptive work in your life? I hope you have. One of the most powerful things you can do is share that with others. Let them know what Jesus has done for you. That's a big ask for some people, and it's not something that we can brag on because we didn't do it. Jesus did. Take a moment to thank Jesus for his life poured out for you. We have to remember, we are the recipients of what Jesus did. How awesome is that? Reunion. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Jesus spoke of his unwavering trust that God the Father was still good and still trustworthy. Never doubt that God is not trustworthy. He is awesome, and he cares, and he loves us. In his last seven statements, Jesus affirmed God's greatest glory, forgiveness, hope, care, loneliness, suffering, triumph, and reunion. All in that day, he experienced and he shared those from the cross that he endured. I think about the power of communion. The disciples would have just been a short amount of time from being in the upper room, that they would have experienced the change of how the Lord's Supper was put together. Jesus instituted the cup representing his blood, the bread representing his body. And as they sat or knelt along or reclined along the lower tables that they had in that day, they didn't know what the next few hours was going to bring. But Jesus did. And he instituted the very thing that we need, and we want to remember what that is like. In that room, he would have taken the bread, held it up, looked at it, broke the bread, and passed it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. If you are able and you choose to, take and eat." I sometimes in my head hear the hammer banging the nail as I experience communion. That's just something that works in my world. He then would have taken the cup, and it would have been a common cup at that time, and he held it, and he would have taken a drink and passed it around to the disciples, who passed it on, that this is my blood shed for you. Most loving and kind God, we thank you for these elements. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for our future with you. Let us never forget Jesus and all that he has done for us. The absolute gift of life comes because of his dedication, his willingness. And when he said, "It's finished," we no longer have to worry or think about death and our lack of future. It's there. As we lift this cup, we thank you in Jesus' name. Take and drink. As we conclude this Good Friday message, the closing prayer. Lord, when life seems anything but fair, help us to believe that you really are that good, and in return, put our complete trust in your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen.